Morning. So why don't we go ahead and get started? And all right. One more. All right. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for bringing us here this morning for another day of life and for your goodness. And Lord, today we have such an important topic, so I really pray for your spirit to be here. Lord, please surround us with your angels, and I just pray that everything said would be done in your spirit for your glory and honor, and that it would be helpful for all of us. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so yesterday, for those of you here, I shared a little bit about my addiction and how God healed me of some of my addictions that I had. And one of the addictions that I had was to this thing of overeating. And I shared with you this verse that inspired me, and it was Matthew 4, verse 4. It says, "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" And, you know, food is a powerful thing, isn't it? Super powerful. I think many of us, if not most of us, I think, are addicted to food to some degree or another. There are some people who really don't care about food, but it's very unusual, I think. And, you know, it was something that almost derailed the Israelites. You can see in Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 to 6, it says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes.'" And I think it's really sobering that the Israelites missed the food of Egypt so much that they wanted to go back to slavery. And that they were like, we ate in freedom. And they were like, and now all we have is angels' food. You know, because that's what manna was. It was angels' food, right? And they were like, all that we have is this food that God has provided for us, and that's come down out of heaven every morning miraculously for us, and we would rather have Egypt. Isn't that amazing? And we think today, you know, that's why for me, as I'm going through my own chronic, you know, issues and whatever, like, people feel bad for me. They say, "I'm so sorry that you're going through this." And I so much appreciate it. Coming to this camp meeting has been a super healing experience for me. But at the same time, it has caused me to be more aware of little subtle things as far as what I'm holding versus, you know, surrendering everything to Jesus. And when I'm talking to other people, not to be judgmental at all, but just to be very aware of this whole thing of addictions, because we in the church, we have certain addictions that we love. And we as Koreans, we have certain addictions that we love. And there are certain things that when we say, well, I can't give that up because I'm a Korean, you know? And I would just caution you, like, whenever you must be careful about the words that are in your mouth, because out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. And so when we say, like, I can't give this up, for me, it's not necessarily that food is so bad. It is the whole thought, I can't give this up, because that becomes an idol. And that is an area that God wants maybe to touch. And so we have to pray about everything. In the beginning, God gave us food to eat, right? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, it says, "Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And so these foods that God gave us to eat in the beginning were fruits, seeds, nuts, grains, legumes, right? How about greens? Were greens in here? In Genesis chapter 1, verse 30, it says, to every beast of the earth, to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And so for the animals, it was, they were supposed to eat the greens. They were eating the herbs, right? And so you will actually find that animals nowadays who are brought up being vegetarian, they have a much different personality and character than animals that are eating meats and that type of thing. And we find that when sin entered into the earth, that our diet got modified. So when sin entered into the earth, you remember that God gave Adam and Eve certain curses, right? Curses that were actually for their benefit. And it says that in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, the bottom one, it says, thorns and thistles shall the earth, shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And you see here, it was where we... God said, you will now be eating greens. And the reason for that probably was because in chapter 3, verse 22, the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, he was no longer allowed access to the tree of life. And some of us are like, why wouldn't God allow Adam and Eve to eat from the tree of life anymore? That's not nice, is it? But, you know, we see from the life of Cain. Cain murdered, and God allowed him to live after that. And we see from his life and from his offspring what happened because of sin being allowed to live for a long time, right? And it's a very merciful thing. Everything that God does, even to punish us, is for our benefit. And so I want to show you, you know, I was going to talk with you a little bit about addictions, but I thought rather than approaching it from the perspective of addictions, I thought I would approach it from the perspective of what you can have that is better and get you to focus upon that. Okay, so here we have looking at food and behavior, the experience of Barbara Stitt. Barbara Stitt was a probation officer in Ohio, and for 12 years she used food to rehabilitate prisoners. And they found that the recidivism rate, you know, the recidivism rate is the rate at which people who exit prison have to come back into prison because they just aren't able to make it out in the real world. And it's usually very high. It's like 70, 80, 90%. And they found that the recidivism rate dropped to less than 15% using just food with Barbara. And more than 80% of the probationers who came to her after she started using this food-based treatment were able to go on to live full and productive lives. In 1997, she worked with a school in Appleton, Wisconsin, called the Alternative High School. And the entire school district then adopted this eating. And the average high school dropout rate dropped from 450 to 16 per year out of 4,500 high school students. Isn't that amazing? If you look on YouTube, you can look at Alternative High School in Appleton, Wisconsin, and there's a video that documents them and interviews different students and people involved there, and so you can see what happened there. And I had that video, but it's not here. So there's another lady by the name of Antonia Demas. She's a PhD. She was one of Dr. Colin Campbell's students. And she got a PhD, I think it was in childhood education. She educates children in schools about food. And then she has also researched the effect of educating children on food on like parental and family spending patterns at grocery stores. And does it change your family when your child learns how to the power the power of food. And she found that it did. If you go to her website, you'll see different testimonies from kids. They'll be like, I love broccoli. I love tofu. And there'll be children who'll be like, I don't want birthday cake. I just want kale. You know? You know, but it's just a testimony, because a lot of times we as parents, I think we underestimate what our children are capable of understanding and of learning. And in that way, we shortchange them. And we think, oh, my children, let's give them the experience of the ice cream truck. And, you know, we want to give them these happy experiences that we grew up with, perhaps. And I would just encourage you to have a paradigm shift and think, well, instead of teaching my children to love things that cause them death, to cause them things that are going to bring them life and help them to have a better experience with Jesus and in this life that is here on this earth as well as to come. So there is a school that she did an experiment on for 3 weeks. This was a juvenile, more of a school that was for juvenile delinquents who had gotten in trouble. It was called Bay Point School, and it was for 3 weeks. They gave these kids all a plant-based diet. They taught them how to cook a plant-based diet, and they gave them only water to drink. And all of them reported improvements in everything across the board. I wanted to share with you some excerpts, and I said this was day one, day two, day three, but this was just me, you know, looking at their journal, and this is from Willie W. Okay, so Willie W. Started out here saying, today I'm starting a new experiment. I'm very skeptical about this experiment. I'm going to be a vegan vegetarian for 1 month. I think this is not going to affect my body in any way. I hope I survive through this experiment. I really hope the food don't be nasty. I really am skeptical about this. So you can see that he did not have any positive preconceived ideas about this. Today I woke up feeling much better than yesterday. It is like I am getting more and more energy each day. I have been noticing also that I am now using the restroom more often now than when I was a meat eater. I am still skeptical about this. This day I am really feeling many changes. Sometimes when I want to be mad, I just be calm. My body is also feeling like it is a big battery that is slowly recharging. Today I woke up feeling very energized. On the football field, I feel like I'm unstoppable. My body feels like it is adjusting very well to this experiment. I am starting to feel like this diet is cleaning my body. Today, I had energy to last me the whole day. Usually, I'd be tired and weary. Now, I feel just energized. Today, I woke up feeling cleansed. He's using like all these terms that we're, you know, it's like, where is this coming from? I really feel that I am a new person. I feel that my body is purified from head to toe. How many of you want your kids to be using these words when they're talking, right? And it's just, you know, how powerful is just the concept that food can change what kids are feeling. Kids still tease me, but I think this is for the best. I am not even skeptical about this no more because I feel much better mentally and physically. I like the food we cook. This morning I woke up just feeling like I can run a mile. I was just ready to go through the day. Today in class it's like we had a test. I felt like everything we study was memorized in my head. I think that this research has something to do with this because I never could have remembered like this in the past. Today I roused this morning feeling spectacular. I am noticing that I now have unlimited energy. I think I can give people loans on energy. I don't get tired no more in football practice. When it's time to go to sleep, I go straight to sleep with no problems. I really like this experiment. I love the way I feel ever since I got on this diet. This morning I woke up feeling exuberant. I really love this diet. I am so happy I have chosen this right decision to be participating in this research. I now have so much energy. I can't explain. I really just want to go donate some of this energy to the people here who is always weary. Some of us here need this energy, right? Today I got my daily report. I have noticed that I have went up in my grades tremendously. I used to have all C's. Now I think I have only A's and B's. I think this diet played a big part in my thinking habits. I think well and clear now. Whatever is on my mind, I state it now. Today in school, I played a memory game on the computer. I got the highest score I ever achieved. Usually I get 120. Today I got a 260. I think this is one of the major effects of this diet. That's a testimony from one student. It's powerful, isn't it? Like, you can hear testimonies from someone like me, and you'd be like, oh, that's just because, you know, Joyce, you know, she wants us to believe in the Bible, and, you know. But when you hear it from somebody who had such a different experience, it's really powerful. I want to tell you the story of Billy. This is another story that Antonia Dimas told at CHIP Summit. And I don't remember if this was his name, but Billy was a high school student, and he was graduating from high school. And he fell out of a truck and hit his head and went into a coma. And he was in a coma for 2 years. And during that period of time, he was not able to respond or anything. He was lying in a hospital bed, and he needed to have a feeding tube. And his mother noticed that the feeding tube formula was white and chalky, and it would harden up into a paste. And she asked the hospital if she could feed her son real food. And they said no, because they were afraid. They didn't know what would happen if she gave him real food. And it got to the point where she had to take them to court, and, you know, the judge. And she had to sign papers and say that she wouldn't sue the hospital if anything happened. And so they allowed her to finally be able to feed him real food. And this was after they had kind of given up on him. They were putting him into hospice, and they were saying there was no hope. And so she contacted Dr. Dimas and asked if Dr. Dimas would help her feed her son food. And Dr. Dimas started blending up soups, vegetable soups, and they started implementing it by using like maybe a fraction of soup to formula. And you know, a few days into this, when he was like maybe almost half soup to half formula, something like that, he started responding. He started opening his eyes, and a few weeks down the line, he was a much different person. He awoke. And I think it was within a year that she was talking to us, and he was, you know, doing rehab, and he was out. I think he was going to a baseball game when she was talking to us. And I don't know, you know, what point he got to, how much he recovered or anything like that. But to me, you know, it was a testimony to the power of real food. And, you know, if food can wake somebody up, if food can change the way people behave and think, you know, we need to give ourselves every opportunity to have that advantage, don't you think? The Bible says this: wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. How many of us see things out in the world that are too good to be true? You know, like Olestra. How many of you remember Olestra? I was really tempted by Olestra, because it's like a fat that, it's a synthetic fat that you can add to like potato chips and things like that. And you can eat as much of these potato chips then as possible, as much as you want to eat, right? And it just goes straight through you, I guess. And it does go straight through you. You will... yeah, anal leakage is a side effect, right? It's... yeah, my mom was like, Joyce, anything that is too good to be true is too good to be true. Except for salvation, right? And so, but the same thing is true of a lot of things. You know, a lot of us, we think vegan is great. And so then we go eat ramen, and we just add a bunch of vegetables to it. And we're like, I'm so glad I can be a vegan. you know, when I was going through this, when I was reading about these ingredients, a lot of these ingredients, they'll be like natural flavors. Natural flavors can have like 50 ingredients in it, and that were made in some kind of chemical factory. And these are made by people who want to make food not for your health, but so that you'll come back and buy more food. So they make it taste as good as possible, right? And so we think that we are eating in freedom, but we are eating addicted. We are eating in slavery. We are eating in bondage to our taste buds. And I would like for us to think very differently about food, because we have gotten very careless. And I say that to you not as someone who judges anybody, but as somebody who has gone through these addictions and gone through the results of living in this sinful world. And I'm on my last nerve. I can't afford to eat this way, as some of you aren't on your last nerve, and so you don't realize when you're hurting yourselves as much. But let me tell you, your sin will find you out at some point, and you don't want to wait until then. You want to eat in terms of wanting the best, and that's what you want your children to eat according to, wanting the best. Amen? So in Revelations chapter 22, you know, I told you about that tree of life that we used to have access to, right? And that tree of life is no longer here. It's in heaven. And to give you kind of an idea of it, let's look at Revelation chapter 22, 1 verse 3. And he showed me a pure river out of the water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, where there was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. I thought this was incredible. You have the throne of God, you have the rivers coming out of the throne of God, and on either side of the river of the water of life, you have the tree. So this tree, the trunk, is on either side of a huge river. Can you imagine that? Ellen White says she saw in a vision the tree of life and the throne of God. Out of the throne came the pure river of water, and either side of the river was the tree of life. On one side was a trunk of a tree, and a trunk on the other side of the tree, both of pure, transparent gold. Can you imagine? At first, I thought I saw two trees. I looked again, and I saw they were united at the top in one tree. So it was the tree of life on either side of the river of life. Its branches bowed to the place where we stood, and the fruit was glorious. It looked like gold mixed with silver. I can't wait to eat from that tree, right? And Ellen White says that we can still continue to eat from the tree of life here on this earth. And it is in the form of the Word of God. It says here, the revelation of the Word to the believer is a vital matter. Appropriating the Word to our spiritual necessities is the eating of the leaves of the tree of life that are for the healing of the nations. Study the Word and practice the Word, for it is your life. And so as we are studying through the Word of God, we are taking unto ourselves these exceeding great and precious promises. Whenever you get into a situation where you are tempted to feel discouraged, where you are tempted to look at yourself and think about only what you can do, look for a promise of God that is the truth rather than the falsehood that Satan is tempting you to feel. And it is by that you partake of the divine nature. How many of you realize that you can partake of the divine nature of God? It is not what you can do, but as your will cooperates with the will of God, it actually becomes omnipotent. That is amazing. That is why we should never say, I cannot do this. I don't know where to start. Well, I don't know where to start is okay, as long as you say, but I will start. Because I know that my will, combined with the divine, by claiming these precious promises, is omnipotent. Whatever is to be done at his command may be accomplished in his strength. All his biddings are enablings. Today, as we go forward from this place, I want us to think about the power of food. That when Jesus came back from the land of the dead, fasting for 40 days and nights, he was tempted with food, and he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." And as he claimed the promises of God, so can we this morning. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, as we close this morning, we praise you and we thank you for the stories in the Bible, for the stories that we have seen in the lives of people whose lives have been transformed by the power of food and by the power of your word. Lord, we pray that we would have courage to go forth to look for Bible promises, to apply them to our lives, and to eat from the tree of life here on this earth until we can eat from it really, truly in person when we see you in the new heaven. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering us. And all of this we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.